So as we've heard, today we're beginning a new series called Transforming Grace. So what is this series going to be about? Well, it's all about how God saves us, and not only that, but how we are changed by God when he does. We're going to be thinking about big subjects like election, that is how God chooses us, calling, regeneration. I know these are kind of big jargony type words, but we want to think more about them. Conversion, justification, adoptions. These are just some of the things we're going to be thinking about. They are big topics. So let me pray for us this morning as we launch in. And will you join me as I do? Father in heaven, thank you that we have an opportunity to hear your word read and taught Sunday by Sunday. And we just pray you be with us now. Help us to focus our minds on what we hear and soften our hearts to it. Father, please move in us so that as we leave here this morning, we might be changed by the things we hear, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we start the series with grace. And the question is, what is grace? We've heard quite a bit about it already this morning. I guess for some, grace is what religious people say at mealtime and not much more. For others, grace is something we sing about in that old hymn, Amazing Grace, which we'll finish with this morning. But what does the Bible mean when it talks about grace? Grace is being given something that you do not deserve. That's what grace is. Being given something that you do not deserve. God is gracious to us in that he blesses us even though we don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve the opposite. We deserve cursing from God because we are sinners and we often have little or no time for God, who is our life giver. We deserve death, yet God is gracious towards us, blessing us even though we are undeserving. And these undeserved blessings come to us in two ways. Firstly, what theologians call common grace, and secondly, saving grace. I think we're very familiar with saving grace, what God has done for us in saving us through the Lord Jesus Christ, less so with this whole area of common grace. And common grace is what we're going to focus on this morning because the rest of our series will focus on saving grace. So what is this common grace? I got the definition there, I do. Common grace is the grace of God by which he gives us countless blessings that are not part of salvation. Let me illustrate it this way. Has anyone come across the Babylon Bee? A few chuckles, so yes, like one or two. The Babylon Bee is a Christian blog coming out of the US. I think it's the US. Majoring in satire, it's very satirical. So you'll get a taste of that as I read this particular article. This post deals with common grace. Here's the fellow. Always has the right look of the person. The post is entitled, "What Has God Ever Done For Me?" Ask man breathing air. Okay, out of Linwood, WA, I'm not sure what state that is in the US. Sources confirmed Tuesday that local free thinker Jared Olson called into question the absurd idea that God had ever done anything for him, all while inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide in a complex process well beyond his mind's capacity of understanding in its entirety. The idea of God is really just holding us back, Olson opined. How do I say that word? Addressing the other members of the philosophy club at Edmonds Community College as the membrane across his larynx vibrated to modulate the flow of air from his lungs, making his speech audible to the people listening, whose intricate ear structures then instantly transformed the invisible sound waves into abstract thought in their brain's nervous tissue. Olson went on to pursue the line of reasoning even further, claiming that mankind has science, medicine, and mathematics to thank for its continued existence rather than any sort of all-powerful creator for which there is absolutely no evidence. According to eyewitnesses, he made these claims as the surface of his feet rested on continued to spin around the Earth's core without any input from him, all while the only habitable planet on which he stood rocketed around the centre of the galaxy in perfect formation at the unfathomable rate of 490,000 miles per hour. At one point during his expertly crafted speech, Olson reportedly glanced around the room to observe the nods of approval from his peers, his eyes, hundreds of millions of cone and rod cells responding to the stimuli in an unimaginably sophisticated procedure. As these elaborate structures continued to capture and process an unbelievable volume of input per second, Olson reported he was all the more confident from the looks of those around him that he had proved his case. According to Olson, he plans to detail religion's negative influence on society at next week's meeting, which is being held in the annex adjacent to both a Christian homeless shelter and Catholic hospital. Okay, you get the point. So common grace is the grace of God by which he gives us countless blessings that are not a part of salvation. And these countless blessings come to the undeserving. They come from the hand of our gracious God, whether he is recognised or not. Jesus taught about common grace. In Matthew 5, in his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard it, that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And on he goes, similar to what we heard in Luke in chapter 6. I won't read that all again. We've just heard it read. Let me read from here. "If you love those who love you, what credit that is to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, because he, God, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." So two things I've highlighted there. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And we see it every day. We experience it every day. We enjoy physical blessings, food and drink and shelter. We are blessed with intellect to study and learn and work. Again, another physical blessing, the ability to work. God blesses us with our moral compass. Due to our sin, our moral compass may not be always due north, if I stick with the metaphor, but we still have the ability to reason and make good and moral decisions. This is an aspect of God's common grace. So too is our creative ability. There is so much beauty and skill and design in our world. These are from the hand of God. Not to mention the beauty and majesty of God's creation itself. Again, the physical world that we enjoy. We are blessed with relationships. Family, friends, society, government, these things aren't always perfect, but they are good. And there are common blessings that flow from the religious realm as well. As much as religion, and in particular Christianity, is maligned, in our society many good things flow, as was alluded to by that Babylon Bee post with the Christian homeless shelter and Catholic hospital. So all these blessings flow to the righteous and unrighteous alike. God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. This is common grace. So the question is, how should we respond to God's abundant, undeserved blessing that we enjoy? Well, the first thing to say is that how we shouldn't respond. We shouldn't be ungrateful and wicked, as Jesus' verse says, as Jesus' own words. Ungratefulness says there is no God. Ungratefulness says, I am self-made. Ungratefulness refuses to acknowledge that all that I am and all that I have comes from the hand of God. We all know what it's like to have an ungrateful... Well, most of us know what it is like to have an ungrateful child, and particularly teenager. Maybe we ourselves were ungrateful teenagers at some point. I certainly was. There was a period of my life when I was far from grateful to my parents. In fact, I resented my parents, despite their generosity towards me. Selfishness is what it's called. And thankfully, God is not selfish. He is gracious to us despite our selfishness. And so the abundance of undeserved blessings that we enjoy should overflow in thankfulness. That's how we want to leave here today and always be. We want to be filled with thankfulness to God. It's kind of obvious, but it still needs to be said. We should be thankful people, thankful to God for all that I am, all that I have in my life. Counting our blessings rather than focusing on what we don't have. I feel that we are constantly shown what we don't have. We constantly see what others have and we don't have. There's issues with envy, coveting. In our culture, that is just so hard, but we ought to be counting our blessings rather than focusing on what we don't have. And more than just the Oprah Winfrey type counting our blessings, we want to move from the thankfulness to the blessings themselves to move to God. As the one who is the giver of those blessings. We want to express our thankfulness, not for the things, but for the God who gives us those things. And by doing this regularly, doing this daily, we remind ourselves that God is good. Some want to tell us that God is not good, that he's a killjoy, he's trying to keep things from you, that somehow he doesn't know what is good for us, but God is so good to us. He is gracious, for we are undeserving. Even his commands that he gives us are good because he wants what is best for us. He wants us to be like him. And this is the second point of application this morning. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to reflect the character of our Heavenly Father. So in Luke 6, Jesus says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." This is really where the rubber hits the road. Jesus says, I haven't got it there, we heard it, to those who are willing to listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And we hear that, and if you're anything like me, you say, how on earth is this possible? How is this possible? This is so unnatural. Our natural tendency is to retaliate, to fight back. To fight fire with fire. How can we be like this? Well, this is where saving grace comes in. To live like this, to reflect the character of God, we must be his children. By grace, we need to be regenerated by the Spirit of God, spiritually transformed, renewed. We need to be brought into the family of God. We need to be adopted as his children. And then by his Spirit transformed to be like Jesus in character and action. That's a work of God. It is so hard to be gracious, to be kind and loving and generous towards someone who is undeserving. As a father, I'm so aware that my children are always watching me. Not just when things are going well and I'm in a good mood, but especially when things aren't going well and I'm not at my best. They see how I react. They see how I respond to difficult people, to tough situations. They see how I do conflict. They see how I argue. They see how I react to mistreatment or to injustice. Children learn from their parents. I know that I reflect my father's character in so many ways, including in this area. But this morning, you and I are being challenged to reflect not our earthly father's character in these things, but our Heavenly Father and his character. his character of grace and mercy and kindness and love. He loved us when we were unlovely, when we were unworthy of his love. He blesses us abundantly, even though we are constantly undeserving of that blessing. God wants us to be thankful, and he wants us to reflect his grace in our own relationships, to love when the other person is unlovely, to be generous when you know it's going to cost you. Let me just make two more brief points of application as I wrap up. We want to welcome the good things people do for us, including the good things unbelievers do for us. There's a mistaken thought from some Christians that people who aren't Christian can't really do good things. I mean, that's clearly not the case. We experience good things from non-Christian people all of the time. These good things still come from the hand of God, whether the person who does these things acknowledges it or not. So in these things, we experience common grace. And lastly, be aware that common grace does not save people. People are not saved by my good works towards them, or your good works that they see, or their own good works. Every person needs saving grace. Every person is a sinner in need of God's undeserved salvation. And that saving grace in Christ is what we're going to focus on in the weeks ahead. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the reminder of your abundant generosity towards us, even though we are indeed undeserving. So often we fail to see your goodness and your love and your kindness. And so often we don't reflect it in our own relationships. Father, we need you to work in us to be people who are deeply thankful and who are changed from the inside out to reflect your character as we relate to others. Work in us by your Spirit to transform us in this way, for we pray in Jesus' name.